This is a violent and often disturbing tale. You have been warned. Ethan Eternal, Chapter 28, Long is the Way. This said, he sat, and expectation held, his look suspense, awaiting who appeared to second or oppose or undertake the perilous attempt. But all sat mute, pondering the danger with deep thoughts, and each in other's countenance read his own dismay. Astonished, none among the choice and prime of those heaven-warring champions could be found so hardy as to proffer or accept alone the dreadful voyage, till at last Satan, whom now transcendent glory raised above his fellows with monarchical pride, conscious of highest worth, unmoved, thus spake: O progeny of heaven's imperial thrones, with reason hath deep silence and demure seized us, though undismayed. Long is the way, and hard, that out of hell leads up to light. John Milton, Paradise Lost. He was a man, just a man, neither perfect nor profane. The life he had lived until now had been hard, yet Perry Long had endured and strengthened his determination to use his time in the only way he knew how. Since he was a small child, Perry had sought to help others in need. He had found purpose and meaning in doing so. This was more a need than a desire in his heart. But now, he was the one in need of help. The fabric of Perry's life had been winnowed down to a single thread. The substance of his being, once fierce and powerful, was now diminished to the point of breaking. Age had taken some of him. Ethan Dorian was taking the rest. It had been a hard journey, and now, at the end, Perry felt himself moving from one world into a new one with an unanticipated ease. The pain of his wounds was gone, taken by a chalk-drawn angel and the ghost of his fallen brother. Soon he would join them both in whatever was beyond this world. Colt was awoken by the metallic clang of footsteps upon the ladder leading to the street above. It was the man from before. He had a strange scent, almost recognizable to the dog, something he had become familiar with during visits to sick boys and girls who had seemed to need only the slightest of Colt's affections. He remembered the way they had smelled. Their hair diminished, eyes sunken inward, and how his friend Perry Long had told them about the life of a Texas Ranger. Colt loved his friend, because despite his cold facade, this was a man who cared deeply for those who needed help. Even a dog could see this. Those children had smelled like coming death. He knows that scent, perhaps from instinct, perhaps from the years within the pit. A growing terror creeps into all of Colt's thoughts now, as the remembered fragrance finds the fallen ranger. Perry groaned lowly, and Colt turned his attention to him. A cry of concern rose from the dog's throat as he licked the icy hand that was resting on cooler concrete. This was worse than anything that had ever come before. Though his friend had been hurt in the past, he had never been so badly wounded, and never before held the alarming odor that was gradually growing in the air. colt shivered. He felt the man that was his master letting go. Jason skipped the last three steps on the ladder and dropped to the floor of the sewer with a heavy thud. The dog looked up at him as this happened. The look this animal gave Dr. Rodriguez was enough to bring even a seasoned scientist and surgeon to unexpected emotion. He felt himself choke up a little. The dog's eyes were wide and wet. It was moaning and whining lowly, nudging the hand of its master with the tip of its nose, struggling to offer every sentiment of affection it could in the final moments of this man's life. The end was near. Cindy stared down into the sewer for an instant, and then eagerly began down the same ladder as the doctor had. She felt her anxiety release as the shadows covered her. It was like an old familiar blanket. Though this was a place of harsh comfort, it was home. Bob let out a sigh. They had made their first journey into the outside world and lived. He couldn't help but feel surprised. He had owned her fear for so long that the thought of challenging it seemed like a fantasy, even if he was trying to let go. This new realization was helping to make that possible. He continued to consider the fullness of their successful voyage as Cindy turned her eyes to the dying man and the strange doctor. Cindy left the ladder and moved to Jason's side. He was staring down at the body and the dog with evident concern. She could see that this was not a stranger to the doctor. His concern for the ranger was more than just that of a doctor to a patient. She had known doctors long ago, and none of them offered even the mildest interest in her beyond what suited them. Doctors on TV seemed to care more than the real ones. But that was fake, made up. Real doctors didn't care, not unless they knew you. She was fairly certain, from his previous wounds, and from this display of empathy, that the doctor and the ranger were even friends. Jason knelt down and rubbed Colt behind one ear for a moment, then placed a hand on Perry's forehead. He left it there for a few seconds, eventually releasing a deep sigh, and then turning his eyes to the girl. She stepped closer and eagerly looked to them, waiting for a dreaded pronouncement. They were too late. She knew it. Bob held her and braced her for the news. But Dr. Rodriguez surprised Cindy as he smiled and held out a hand in her direction. She peered down to it, analyzing its features in the darkness. His palm was down, fingers wrapped around a small object. He held it towards her and spoke with a warm and sincere tone.
I need you to take this. You're going to have to help me, and then I can help Perry. What I'm going to ask you to do, it won't be easy. But you are the only one that can do it.
Cindy paused. Something in his voice was troubling. He was trying too hard to seem assured. It was the voice that a doctor uses when he is telling you that everything will be okay, but your mother will not live another day, that everything will be fine, but you'll be alone. It was a lie that she remembered well. Jason sensed her trepidation and nodded as he focused his full concentration upon the girl.
It's okay. Listen to me. This will be okay. I promise you. And you need to trust me because it will look scary. I'm telling you now because I know you need to hear the truth. This is going to look really bad, but it will be okay. Remember what happened before? Remember how what happened here?
He pointed to where she had stabbed him with the broken glass at the side of his neck. The place still stained red, but without a wound of any kind. Cindy let this soak in for a second as he continued speaking.
We can help the ranger. Save him. How I was saved, but only if you stay strong. I need you. He needs you.
She looked past Jason and saw a Colt staring back at her. The pretty dog seemed so sad, and yet he looked to her as a friend. She had only known this animal since this morning, and still it gave its trust to her. Bob and Cindy held hands and decided together that if she was to ever trust anyone, then this would be the time. The doctor was not bad, not like the crazy one that had hurt Perry Long, not like the mean doctors that she had known long ago. He wanted to help, and he needed her to. Cindy nodded.
George stepped to a marble balcony and gazed down from the third story of an opulent and monstrous plantation home, a fountain surrounded by a ring of massive and perfectly rounded granite slabs parted two fields of emerald pasture. To his left, near what remained of one of the estate's luxurious guest homes, dark black smoke was climbing into the sky, where a helicopter had only recently descended. This was his battlefield. Behind him, Ethan stared out into the sky and frowned. His home was under siege. He wanted nothing more than to meet these intruders personally and torture those that survived until they revealed all of who they were and, more importantly, who had sent them. Though the thought of manifesting this pleased Dorian, he already had his suspicions of the enemy's identity. The giant man lowered his weapon and began to load a second rocket into the device as his radio buzzed with new activity. A panicked man screamed into the transmitter as gunfire erupted in all directions.
Help! We're under attack! The fucking army is here! It's the fucking army!
The security guard had not been trained or experienced in military combat. No one had ever attempted anything like this at Ethan's home. The thought of doing so was beyond question. How would anyone dare? Mafia and cartel leaders had considered such a thing before, but their plans were never given serious effort, and for good reason. George and his mercenaries would remind them all why. He raised the rocket launcher to his shoulder and aimed through a holographic lens for a moment. A blast of white flame blew from the rear of the long tube behind George as a screaming fireball shot down, striking near the guardhouse, where a soldier dressed in black had emerged only an instant before. The target vanished in a spray of debris. George dropped the weapon and retrieved his radio. With inflamed bloodlust, he began ordering his men.
Guards, stay where you are. You will be reinforced by my team. We will secure the guardhouse and the front guest home. Do you hear me?
Almost immediately, a grateful and quivering man replied,
Oh, God, thank you! We confirm! Please, hurry!
Without responding, George turned the radio to a different frequency and shouted into the device once more.
This is George. Come in.
A raspy voice of West Texas origin answered.
Yes, sir. We're here.
George continued,
Brief me.
They have a dozen or so men in full fatigues and armor. Weapons appear to be light automatics, some explosives, highly trained. They appear to be attempting to take us one structure at a time. Baghdad tactics, sir.
George squinted his eyes as he contemplated this.
Flank them with your force. Don't waste any resources securing this compound. Team B will assist from the street. I'll contact Carlos. What is the status of the Hind? Is it ready for deployment?
Immediately, George's commander answered.
Sir, it is already airborne.
Just then, a dark black shadow crossed George's face as a thundering gunship passed only a few feet above the roof and continued on towards the gates to the Dorian compound. He watched the monster move with precision as it cut the air to pieces with its thick Kevlar blades. A blazing echo screamed from it as the machine gun at its nose started firing. He could hear the cry of iron being splintered as something disintegrated under this powerful assault. Whoever had sent these men had no idea what they were in for.
Good work. I'll be in touch.
Yes, sir,
the man answered as George turned back towards the glass door and the finely decorated room within. He slid the gliding door open and stepped quickly to the side of a fine mahogany pool table. This had been the room where Dorian entertained his important guests. Only Ethan and George had access to it by a secret elevator. It was the most secure area in his home. As George neared the boy, he could see the seething anger written across his youthful visage. Ethan was in deep and focused thought, but as his minion came closer, Dorian raised a finger and spoke. His tone was subdued, his annoyance obvious.
Hand me my phone, George.
The giant saw the silver phone resting on the edge of one of the pool tables. He gently snatched it up and then gave it to the boy. Dorian took the phone and turned his eyes past George, looking out at the battle underway. He seemed distant as he did so.
I want every attempt made to take prisoners.
George shook his head.
We won't get any. These are the kind of soldiers that keep cyanide capsules in their cheeks.
The boy turned his eyes to George with a raised eyebrow.
Really? Why would you say that?
The brooding figure answered coldly.
Because that is how we train ours.
The boy nodded.
Indeed.
He flipped open his phone and began to dial a number. George was curious, so he asked,
Who are you calling?
Rather than answer this, Dorian asked his own question.
Where's my transport?
George nodded.
I'll take care of that right now.
The giant left his master and stepped forcefully to the secret elevator. He removed his own phone from an inside pocket of the military-style jacket he was wearing. He began a conversation as he left his master and descended into the rooms below. Ethan's phone buzzed as the line rang on the other end. He stepped slowly to the giant window that gave any in this room a majestic view of the Texas countryside. The phone buzzed again. He sat down on a dark leather chair and breathed out a sigh, releasing his tensions into the air. His world was broken now. His plans had been interrupted. So much had been done to ensure the success of all Dorian had sought to accomplish. This invasion could not have come at a worse time. The phone clicked, and a man answered. His voice was heavy, his accent thick. It was the voice of a man Dorian had known for many, many years. A man that held Dorian's favor, not out of any affection or friendship, but out of financial and political necessity. Dorian had been surprised by the swiftness of his old peer's attack. Jeffrey was not surprised at all, though. He had been expecting the call.
I was wondering if you would call.
Dorian paused and then replied,
Do you hear this voice, Jeffrey? This boy's voice? Do you understand who you are speaking with?
There was no answer. His silence told Dorian more than he needed to know.
So you know, then.
Again, there was no reply. Dorian tightened his grip on the phone.
I also know who I am talking to.
There was a long moment of silence, and then Ethan finished with malice.
You're a dead man, Carmichael.
Cindy opened her hand as Jason placed something into it. He moved his away, and she released the grip of her fingers as she stared down at what had been given to her. Surprised by what she saw, the girl met Dr. Rodriguez's stare with a confounded expression. He nodded and began to explain.
It's empty. There's nothing in it.
She looked back to her hand and gave a closer examination of the sealed syringe. She knew what it was. She had seen these before. Medicine was given to sick people with such instruments. But there was no medicine to give. There must be some mistake. She shook her head, but then Jason spoke again.
I need you to open that and take the cap off the needle.
Cindy was unsure of what this all meant. His intentions seemed genuine, but this made no sense.
Trust me,
he offered again with a serious expression. Cindy hesitated, and then peeled the sterile synthetic wrapper away and snapped a clear cap off, revealing a thick silver needle about an inch in length, attached to the remaining plastic cylinder. It was indeed an empty needle. She gave her eyes back to him as Jason spoke.
Do you still trust me?
She looked into his eyes. He was serious and even emotional. The doctor seemed to be desperate, as though depending completely in her and on her actions. She did not understand what was happening, but neither did she comprehend why he was even alive. Cindy made a conscious choice at this moment, that whatever was about to happen, she would do as this man asked. She believed in God and knew that sometimes God would work in ways that we cannot understand, ways that seem strange and even frightening. But she had seen a miracle today. Was it so hard to believe that there could be another? Cindy nodded again and resolved herself to do as she was told. Seeing this in her eyes, Jason shared a moment with the young woman. He reached out and hugged her. It caught her by surprise, and she didn't know how to respond at first, but soon felt her arms embrace the doctor. They stayed like this for several seconds before each released the other, and Rodriguez spoke again. She was surprised to see tears rolling down his cheeks as this happened.
You're a strong girl. You know that? You're really, really strong. I promise you that this will be okay. I promise that you will be okay.
Cindy wanted to smile, but was not yet ready to believe that. She blinked instead. Rodriguez wiped his eyes and turned to Perry Long. The ranger was awake, but in a kind of haze. He had been watching them as they spoke. Perry lifted his head a little and saw Colt. The dog met his eyes and began wagging his tail, trying desperately to reassure his friend that he would be okay, even if he did not believe it. He smiled at his old friend and then looked to Jason.
Oh, Jason.
Dr. Rodriguez knelt down to Perry and leaned towards his face. With a physician's care, he spoke calmly.
Perry. Yes. Yeah. It's me. It's Jason.
With a trembling voice, Perry answered.
You look so young.
Jason smiled.
Yeah, I know, but Perry, listen to me. Can you listen to me for a second?
The ranger blinked away as much of his confusion as he could. He was pale, dry, empty.
Yeah, okay.
Rodriguez became very serious as he addressed his friend again.
You're gonna die. You're gonna die real soon. You've lost too much blood. You've probably only got a few minutes left, so I need you to hear me. I need you to listen.
The two stared into one another's eyes for a long moment, and at last Perry responded.
What? What is it that you need?
Rodriguez took in a deep breath.
Perry, I want you to make a choice. I want you to be the one that decides. I can't take this back once I do it. And once you are gone, there's nothing anyone can do. So we don't have much time. What are you talking about?
Jason swallowed, gathering himself.
Listen to me. You were right. You were right about what we did in Montana. Do you understand? You were right.
A glaze came over the ranger's eyes and then vanished as a wave of anger spilled across his features. Clarity was returning, if only for a brief instant.
Oh my God,
Perry whispered. Emotion spilled across his face as a tear emerged from the broken lawman's eyes. With a weak rasp, Long continued.
Oh, God, the boy. Oh, my God.
Struggling against his feelings, Jason steeled himself.
I know. God, I know. But Perry, listen to me. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Perry Long was lost to his feelings. He had failed the boy and Kevin Hill in every way. And he had not even known. All that he had sought to accomplish had been undone before he had ever had a chance to make amends. He knew now that Daniel Hill had been murdered. Until this instant, Perry had denied that reality to himself, hoped that there would be some way to undo the evil inflicted on the child. He understood, here, in this damp tomb, that all hope had been abandoned. Jason would now attempt to restore some. Jason met Perry's eyes with conviction.
I can save you.
He paused for a second as the ranger tried to comprehend.
I can save you, if you let me.
Perry's eyes tensed.
What? What the hell are you telling me?
Rodriguez answered.
The second part of Project Meritus was a success. The second part, do you remember? Do you remember what I told you?
Perry seemed confused for a moment, and then his eyes widened as he looked over the face of his friend with new insight.
Jesus! Your face, of course.
Jason nodded.
I can save you. But you have to decide. You have to tell me that you want this, because I can't take it back. It's not perfect.
but it will work if you make me a promise. Perry felt his mind slipping into sleep. He struggled to remain conscious. The exertion that this conversation had taken was draining his remaining strength faster than before. It was almost over. Mitch was waiting. Sleep was calling.
Perry!
Jason shouted. The ranger forced himself away from the distant light ahead and met Jason's eyes once more.
Promise?
Dr. Rodriguez nodded. His face tightened with frustration.
Kill him. Whatever he has become, kill Ethan Dorian. Promise me.
Perry Long thought on this for a moment that seemed to stretch into an age as he gave consideration to all of what was offered. This fate seemed to have come to him not out of coincidence, but as the result of some inspired plan. He had trouble with the concept of God, but something in his settling thoughts was pulling him closer towards belief. This was not simply a choice between death and life, but of the very essence of who Perry Long was and could be. The ranger reached an arm towards his old friend and took hold of his hand. Jason felt Perry try to squeeze. Life began to drain away from his limbs. The hand released its grip, and Perry's arm relaxed. Death had come too soon. But before the Grim Reaper could take its cherished prize, Perry Long forced one word from his lips.
Yes.
This has been Ethan Eternal, Chapter 28, Long is the Way. For more information, please visit onemanasylum.com.